Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk.
Scott, CJ Walker hairstyle, woman of Brewster Place curls.
Who's his place, though?
Now women are losing their place, girls.
At the wall.
What in the world?
The old crime. The rollers in it. You know what I'm talking about?
AKA, it's my birthday month. How's everybody doing? Happy Monday.
As robe on, yes.
Yes.
Word. And as you heard, also chiming with the hearty laughter, we have the one and only Madam Barbiturate with CeeLo Boston Strong Chin over there.
Strong Chin.
Got a pack of Newport rolled up in a short sleeve shirt on the left arm. Showing her heart with the skin tattoo in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Rolled up twice, son.
Rolled up twice. You already
what?
Know what it is. You got a leather jacket on inside.
He farted a tattoo. Get out of here.
Got the heart with the snake tattoo that says mother.
Shut up.
Got that pirate tattoo.
Oh, bless it.
Wow.
Good afternoon in the morning time.
Ladies. Yeah, what's happening? So it seems to be reported that the sales for the also coveted Friday morning event, the Black Friday, sales dropped. You know what I'm saying? I guess the protest has been getting to the folks, you know, in all the right ways, and they've been kind of paying attention. You know, because I mean, real talk, this protest has been taking shape in like over 170 cities across the country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's major.
Yes. It definitely
and the
is
fact
not.
That it's been going on. See, this is where I think people thought the it was going to stop like a day or two after, you know, not the indictment verdict. I mean, in the sense of they thought it was just going to die down after a day or two like normal, you know, after something happens, you know what I'm saying, in our neighborhoods. They talk about it for a couple of days and then it's gone.
Right.
This has been going on for over 100 plus days. And as you stated, Sade, in over 170 some cities, and those are the ones that we just know about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The ones that make noise enough to make the news. The ones that are making noise enough to make the news.
Let me tell y'all, the one that gave me chills, I mean, like, literally gave me chills, was when I saw Yale and Harvard took part.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and the reason why it gave me chills was the simple fact that places that normal, like white America, would think that, oh, it's stupid people that are trying to protest or what have you. It showed not just those colleges, but that it had nothing to do with education. It's about the humanity behind it. It's not just about Mike Brown. It's about what happens too often and for too long with it being brushed off like, yeah, it can't be that bad. And this was something that took place in front of not two or three people, not four or five, over 60 witnesses.
The whole project was out that day.
It could not. There was no way, you know, and thank God for social media. Because had this been back in 1995, again, it would have been something that they talked about for a couple of days, just like they did.
Yeah.
And we on to the next one.
True.
Well, it was not just about one city and one person. It's about the grand scale of us as humans, period. We all need each other. I'm done.
Tell me why you mad, son. Gina, did they protest out there in Plant City at all? Did they have anything out there that raised your eyebrows about the whole situation?
Plant City is a very, very small, very small town. If anything were to take place in the way of a protest to attack on something nationally, it would more than likely take place in either Tampa or Orlando. I did hear about some protesting in Tampa, but none that, you know, made enough ruckus to make the news or anything negative for them to report to put on the news, we'll say. And that's unfortunate because there were a lot of very peaceful protests that you know, brought awareness to the situation. And to that I say, we could use a lot more of them if that's what the method that you all are choosing to do to have your voices heard. But as far as the Black Friday shopping, I would hope that the protests are one of the pivotal reasons for the sales being so low. You know, will we really ever know? I don't think so. But we would hope that would have one of the deciding factors or one of the reasons. But we definitely want to hear from you, our callers, our listeners. Weigh in, 917-889-3926. Again, Black Friday sales in the toilet. Insert losing game show music here.
And hold on, they first said it just at 7%, and 7% could sound small unless you know have a big number, right?
Yeah.
They were negative $677 million, not thousands, not hundreds. Million.
All right, yo, CeeLo, check this out. Bring those stats back on whatever stats you got on the other side of this break. We're gonna take a break for a minute. I'll give you a chance to get your phones together to dial in and help tell us if you was out there breaking the unwritten code for Friday or not. Or Saturday as well. Even today at Cyber Monday. I heard there was a little extended boycott ban for Cyber Monday also. So, you know, give us a call and let us know if you guys stuck with the program or you guys went against the grain because you got babies to make smile at, you know, the next month or so. It's all good either way. TM Hyman Radio, we'll be right back, y'all.
One of my favorite joints floating around right now, real sick from her Queen Bee mixtape. No, I'm wrong. It's not the Queen Bee mixtape. It's the Hardcore mixtape, right?
There you go. That's
right. Nice. Hardcore mixtape. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Save James, your girl Hot Chocolate Hair, Madam CeeLo Boston. And it is Money Monday, our topic tonight. Was there really any impact in the Black Friday sales that are being reported to be down? Boston has some stats for us. I believe you said it was 7% that it was reported at first. Boston? Are you there?
Mute. Don't worry.
Okay. She just
I was talking too. What? Okay, so look. Yes, initially the percentage was 7%. The last one that came in a couple of hours ago says that national sales went down 11%.
There you go.
Cyber Monday. So from Black Friday, it was 7%. As for Cyber Monday, it was 11%. But I also see where someone also let us know that even though those, you know, I guess the outside sales, you know, and when I say outside, I mean like the retailers, the outside, like a mall, strip mall, you know, stores like that. But the e-commerce went up 20%. So hopefully, you know, people that took, that took part in it didn't then not go out but order online. Like that would
right.
be
they did it.
Crazy.
They did it
and
discreetly.
Kinda,
yeah.
Right, like I'm going to go ahead and just order this. You know, I swear to y'all, matter of fact, I was talking to my father about this earlier, and I was like, you know, just talking about how a lot of people were saying, oh, that's not going to make a difference if you, you know, if you don't go buy anything or whatever. And so I'm down talking that, right? My father said, well, hell, that's how I got my fryers. I told you I was going to go get them now. I swear to God, but you know what I'm saying? And my father doesn't agree with any of this stuff that's going on, but he still took part in shopping. But he had to get his fryers at a good price. I was just like, wow. Like, I'm quite sure, I looked at that more so in the sense of, I'm quite sure there's a lot of other people out there who thought that, oh, I'm going to just get this, but I ain't going to get nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, but I'll say any percentage is better than nothing at all.
Yeah, so
$600 for one day, they lost $677 million from the lack of people shopping.
Yeah. Okay, so to the team, did you all do any shopping at all?
I did not.
No.
And I had a couple bucks. Say word.
Okay, no Black Friday or Small Business Saturday?
I did Small Business Saturday, though.
Okay.
But the only thing I bought was cigarettes.
Yeah,
people,
Lord,
you know.
Never mind.
Right.
I was going to ask
right,
you
so, like,
what
no,
business
I didn't buy,
you paid or not.
I don't know if
we count the bodega as, I guess you can as small business. I guess.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I guess
hey, no, this is a small business. It's owned by two people who stopped smoking regular cigarettes and saved their money and bought that store. Opened the building.
And now they sell you cigarettes.
And now they sell me cigarettes until I get my own store. So that's how it's going to work.
Okay, well, I did not Black Friday, I did not Cyber, no, I did not Small Business Saturday, but I did Cyber Monday.
Oh, okay, what'd you get?
But it was to a small business. I got shoes
and
boots for my birthday trip.
Okay.
I'm saying, listen.
At least you know what you're dealing with.
I didn't get the accessories yet. I'm going to try to get those before midnight so I can still get in on the, you know, whole Cyber Monday sale.
Oh.
So, you know,
nonsense.
I'm saying. It'll be a small business. So doesn't that count as something, you know, positive? Instead
hey,
of, you
six
know,
and
big,
a half
in
one, half a dozen in another.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, you will.
Potato rutabaga.
What about you, Sade?
Nah, I didn't participate at all.
Well, hold on. You wouldn't anyway, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you would, because he has children and he has a wife.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Don't get it twisted, though. Like, you know, whenever the sales do come around, I do, you know, try to take advantage of them, like, because I know around this time I normally get, you know, the babies or some new boots or whatever like that. And the thing, what I do is I get them all the new stuff, and they be fresh now. So by the time these kids got to come back after Christmas, they eyes are already fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He already got the stuff that they was about to cop. He already got the sneakers that they had to wait a whole month for. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I play that one. You know what I'm saying? That's how I play that one.
Well played, young grasshopper.
Yeah, you know how that goes. But yo, check it. We about to go into a break. Before we do, this dude just woke up. Wipe the cold out of his eye. See who is this paging him and why.
Why?
His breath stink.
I
want
to introduce you all to this. Yeah, breath smell like the streets right now, people, as far as I know. Smell like the streets.
They smell like the streets.
Word, straight back alley action. Son. Introducing to you all, presenting to others. This is T.M. Hobbin himself. Talk to us, brother. Don't sound so groggy either. Talk to us, man. What's going on with you, man?
Hi.
He said, we'll bring the general on after. No.
Might be on mute.
He's going to brush his teeth, y'all.
He ain't on mute. We'll go to break, bro, because we'll be right back. It's Beyonce.
He's going to brush his teeth.
Be right back.
Show the sideways, maggots in the air. Let's move it, stop, maggots in the air. Let's move it, stop, maggots in the air. Show the sideways, maggots in the air.
Man, 'cause I'm so fresh, fresher than you.
Hammer Radio Live, 9:24 p.m. Yo, that was Beyonce with 7-Eleven. We are talking about the sales plummet that occurred over the past weekend due to our not just our but collaborative effort of what's the word protesting. Yes, protesting. Yes, thank you. So, what is it? Hashtag not one dime. Yeah.
Yeah, not one dime.
So that's been sweeping the nation. And again, as far as we know, I mean, just wait till probably like by midweek we'll know of some more cities and so forth that have taken part. And again, this has been going on for over 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was like
more
August.
Or less, yeah.
Yeah.
More or less.
I just say that I'm proud of that generation. It's a lot of teenagers out there taking a stand. And they may not everybody may have gotten involved with the same, you know, intentions, but it seems to be making a hell of a difference. I want to see what these numbers end up being like.
Check this out. We're about to go into our finance talk in a second, but let's see if you're talking to us now. Pastor Hyman. Reverend Hyman, are you available to speak with us now?
What's going on?
What up, everybody?
Hi, hon.
You sound like you still might have some work to do on your breath.
My breath.
You backed out and went to go brush your teeth.
I wiped my breath out my eyes.
You sound like your breath might be a little hot.
Oh, if it's hot, it smells like crab cakes if it's hot, because that's what I eat.
Oh, slide you a comment.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Oh, goodness. Y'all know how
that
is.
Was sleep. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm coming out of VA tonight, everybody. Still hanging with Sam. Man, came in, took a little pause, and it was a quarter after 9 before I knew it. What up, everybody?
Uh-huh. Thanks, Rob. Uh-huh. It was a couple of pauses.
Hey now.
Well,
oh yes,
well,
so we were just about to get into our finance segment.
Get not one dime from me over the weekend.
Good job.
No small business Saturday either.
Not one dime. I was pissed off like everybody else.
All right.
And
high five.
Tell like T.I. is.
But the question,
without further ado, ladies and gentlemen.
Was the impact great enough? Never mind. I don't think so.
But you, hear the figure? I mean,
right.
That was a lot of money, though. Like $677 million. That's a lot of dough.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of dough to
that,
be missing
absolutely.
Out on
Did
that they were looking
even?
Forward to. A lot of companies going in the red, thinking they were going to, because this is still part of first. This is still first quarter.
And is
oh,
that just Friday's
year.
Number?
Oh, it was like 7%, and today's
probably
number, this is from a little bit earlier, was 11%.
Yeah, about 11 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little something.
But
little
did they break
something,
even
know.
With the internet sales though? Because you said internet sales went up 20%. So did they break even?
Yeah.
Minus 11 and plus 20. Is that like a
yeah,
break
exactly.
even right there?
You know, I mean, oh, that's what happened. All the you know lazy folks stayed home, you know, shopped today.
I don't know. My dad
what,
took part of it,
great.
So that was my only person that I knew outside my cigarettes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Yeah, we were just about to get into finance with Toya coming out of Delaware, Newark.
Were we?
Yeah,
yes.
Let's do that real quick.
What up, Toya?
All right, put that glass of wine down, Toya. Give it to us.
Okay, it would help if I was not on mute, right? So since we're now past Black Friday and Cyber Monday, I would assume that it's safe for everyone to start shopping again if you're not protesting.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday season is now upon us. So, you know, it's time to get in gear before you know it, Christmas will be here. So It's time to get your Christmas shopping done. You want to get it done as early as possible. You know, in the business world, we say proper planning prevents poor performance. Well, for Christmas shopping, proper planning prevents overspending. So just a few tips to help keep money in your pockets over the holiday season. First of all, just make a list of people you're shopping for and stick to it. Don't feel obligated to buy. If you don't have the money, then don't spend it. Secondly, create a spending limit for each person on your list and an overall budget for the season. Be sure to stick to it, because one thing you don't want to do is pay for 2014 gifts all of 2015. Also, remember, most time homemade gifts mean a lot more to a person than a label or brand name. I mean, if you don't have a lot to spend, then get creative. Make something that will actually mean something to someone instead of just spending a lot of money on a brand name or a label. And if you do enjoy giving brand name gifts, then just make sure that you spend as little as possible. Remember, it can be done using online outlets such as Overstock.com, NoMoreRack.com, and then my personal favorite is Groupon.com. You can find all types of great gifts at great prices on all of these sites and all of the similar online retail stores. So just keep those tidbits in mind. But the biggest thing is spend reasonable. Don't spend a lot of money, especially on something that you know someone's not going to appreciate and you're just trying to look good by spending a lot of money on an item. You know, spend money on things that are going to be meaningful and something that will be appreciated. So just a few tidbits, but Groupon.com right now has some great specials. I'm actually getting ready to buy a tablet for $74.99 as we speak. So you guys should log on. You can get all types of things on Groupon. Very good prices, good shopping.
Yes, I love Groupon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have for you.
Word. That's Toya, live out of Newark, Delaware tonight, everybody. Hey, well,
thanks, Toya.
I'm looking at a report from Forbes, and Forbes magazine is actually saying Black Friday sales were not down 11%, and it all is just a little, you know, snafu when it comes to the actual scores. According to the National Retail Federation, a survey was done with about 4,600 consumers November 28th through the 29th. Based on that, the NRF concluded that the holiday sales actually estimated, you know, to about $50.9 billion compared to $57.4 billion last year. I mean, that is roughly 11%, but the point of Internet Monday, Cyber Monday, absolutely. I think Sam just said it before the break. You cannot exclude Internet Monday from that whole Black Friday weekend fiasco, I think. 11%, Sam, you did the numbers. Based on yesterday and the weekend, I mean, come on. There was really no significant loss. Was the impact that great? No, it wasn't that great. Let's not fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not stay home. We have an infatuation to spend our money. And unfortunately, it's African-American people. Where do you think you get Black Friday from?
And New Jays was coming out.
Because Black people spend the most money. We got to learn how to really funnel our resources. We got to learn how to hit them in the pocket. We can't talk trash, get treated any kind of way, and then turn around and go spend our money just anywhere. We got to get smarter.
Yeah.
Hey, I got something for y'all, though. If y'all didn't know, I just came across an article prior to the show where they were saying that gun sales were booming on Black Friday this year.
Yes, now I did see that as well.
You saw that, right? Okay, check. I'm going to give you these numbers real quick. They said according to the federal background check system, it set a record of 175,000 checks on Friday. according to the FBI, on a typical day of last year, the agency processes only about 58,000 checks. So that's exponentially greater than your average run-of-the-mill checks through the FBI that people that are by firearms. And in a lot of these places, one of the main places that was having a lot of gun sales going was your local Walmart. They had 20% off all firearms at Walmarts across the country. So, tool up, baby, because everybody else is. That's all I'm saying. If you ain't got
it. They did have a lot of gun sales. They really did.
I mean, mm-hmm. It's crazy. 175,000 in one day. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of guns.
That's a lot of guns.
Listen, speaking of guns, I am infatuated with a new program. I've been watching this, like, week in over weekend. I'm all the way in Virginia, and I've still been catching up on season 6 of my favorite show now. Who has seen Sons of Anarchy?
Love it. OMG.
You're only on season
6?
Tomorrow
listen,
is the
I'm,
very
I'm taking
best
my time.
Catch up.
I'm yes. taking my time. I've gone back and watched many of them from season 1. I'm up to season 6, and I'm on my way. Listen,
oh, man.
Okay.
Well, all I can
bad.
Tell you is tomorrow evening, stay off of Facebook, please,
yes,
so people will pull it for you. And tomorrow
yes.
is the very last show
last,
ever.
Yep.
So
yep.
please stay off of Facebook.
Yeah.
I've never seen an episode of my life of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, save your love.
Oh, my
it.
Gosh. It is so good.
It's awesome. It is.
I've heard a lot of buzz about
speaking
it.
Speaking of guns.
I've never
right.
Speaking of guns. I mean, you know, Sons of Anarchy take guns to the next level.
Yeah, they really do.
And I'm not promoting,
they do.
I'm not promoting guns. I'm just saying, if you, you know, if you are a lover of guns, this has
yeah.
to be the show to watch, Sons of Anarchy.
Absolutely.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pause for the calls. Come right back. And we're talking about the weekend sales, Black Friday, and how, you know, the Ferguson-driven protest all over the country actually asked us to stay away from the stores and to hit retailers in their pockets. I don't think we did a good job. We drove down some revenue, but not enough revenue in the country under the circumstances. Black lives do matter. And we're going to pause for the calls. Come right back. You're in tune to the Social Lab. See you on the radio with the crew.
Yeah, I'm taking niggas lunch money. Too bad, I was up and hungry. Real niggas don't notice you. I'm the only dope boy quotable. Mommy trying to land a Sinatra. With Shilpa, with Apple Watches. Cause Rolex shopping is more exciting. Shout out to dope boy lipstick team wipers. Howard Homecoming Kingpin. Movie on my neck with the screen gems. Me and my niggas having bottle wars. 40,000 on the floor when the bottle's full. I'm Blu-ray to your DVD. You might have caught me on TMZ. Cameo trying to sue it. Cause I party hard like it's three of me. America's still abusing us. And 9/11 is the Ku Klux. So why wouldn't I fire back? When every day them niggas shooting us. True enough, I'm out of line. You better stand for something before you out of time. This is crime by design. If the crown ain't mine, tell me who am I behind? Ah! Yeah, I'm taking lunch money. Too bad, I was awfully hungry. Real niggas don't notice you. I'm the only dope boy quotable. Poppy give me everything I want. Ride around with Miguel Cotto in the trunk. What I'm cooking in the kitchen, Bobby Brown, new edition. What I'm wearing and it's glistening. Mink leather or it's listen. Saint Laurent, I'm in all layers. The mannequin to you ball players. Shout out my Mac 11 monster. Grew up on Nintendo playing Contra. And know that he's only 5'9". 100 bodies on his timeline. What's the price of success? Lost my bought a ship. The 9/11 cost 2/11. Watch looking like a jeweler 7. Hot in 7. I'm so alive. Your bank account Swiss, so is mine. This is crime by design. If the crown ain't mine, tell me who am I behind? Yeah, I'm taking lunch money. Too bad, I was awfully hungry. Real don't notice you. I'm the only dope boy quotable.
Jump on it. Hung out on Friday night with Rich Homie Quan, Pusha T, and a couple of other real hot artists here in Norfolk. And I can't go any further without talking about, I think, the attack that our homeboy Pharrell Williams is under right now. Pharrell actually did an article, and I can't remember the magazine off the top of my head, maybe you all know, but did an article recently talking about Mike Brown and something that we need to take a look at, and it's the bullying that took place in the convenience store and the bullying of the store owner by Mike Brown that actually led up to the incident. Pharrell is under attack with people, you know, calling him a chump, people questioning, you know, his perspective, you know, saying that he's dumbing down, you know, the entire, you know, situation with Mike Brown. What one community leader actually went as far as to say via a Facebook posting, a community leader that I know and respect, that he's concerned about Pharrell's state of mind. I don't think it's that serious. I think the media only promotes what they want us to hear. And Pharrell actually did a full-blown article, and I just don't think that people took time to read the entire article. They only blew up one aspect of what Pharrell was saying. However, I do not disagree. The bullying was inappropriate. The bullying was not acceptable, and bullying across the board is not acceptable. I don't think he was dumbing down the situation. I just think that the media only focused on one aspect of what Pharrell was actually saying. If you take time, Google it, read the full article for yourself. He's under attack, a whole bunch of negative comments coming from other celebrities alike. Bullying isn't something that should be acceptable, and it was a major part of again that entire incident in Ferguson. So I just wanted to take a stance on that in support of what Pharrell was actually saying. My little cousin tonight at lunch asked me, isn't that the song that Pharrell Williams sang? I was like, it's Pharrell.
Pharrell Williams. I'm weak. I've heard him called many things, but never Parallel.
Parallel. What are you all's thoughts on his perspective in that article?
I mean, I get what he's saying, though. I mean, it's no different than when, if a child was to do something and the parent disciplined the child, but then the parent being vilified for correcting the child's error. Now, the thing is that at what point, I mean, I could just see what he's saying, because it's like, all right, he's not saying that he should have got shot because of it. He's just saying what happened to him in his life where it made him feel entitled to be able to push somebody around that's smaller than him. I can see that.
Correct.
And it's a valid question, but at the same time, this child we're speaking of is dead. It's not like he's still here. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even if we were to talk about it, it's not like that could be corrected, but what can be corrected or even any vindication come in where the police officer is held accountable for the actions that he took. I mean, if everybody got shot for pushing somebody, I know I'd be dead.
I don't know if I'm completely clear on what his statement was. Was it just that he felt Michael Brown was wrong, of course, for what he did to the convenience store owner?
Right.
Or that it was a karma-like experience that took place because he did something bad? Then, I mean, it shouldn't have been that extreme, but I mean,
no,
he
was challenging us to look at every aspect,
the entire
of the situation. The fact that it started again with the fact that Mike Brown did bully this convenience store owner,
and
there were even pictures that showed how dramatically taller Mike Brown was over the store owner.
Yes, correct.
And so again, he was just challenging us to ask ourselves, you know, was this something that ultimately he brought on himself? You know, he was not dumbing down the situation, but he was also causing us not to dumb down how the situation really started.
Right, but this is the thing, though. Now, hold on now. Before we can even go that far, is because Darren Wilson had no idea about the store thing. He was already there. He was already in the area.
But hold on.
Store didn't come until after what was going on happened.
Allow me to interject real quick. I don't know how valid or how raw the footage is for this, but I didn't get a chance to investigate further, but I did see some kind of posting somewhere that there was actual footage of Mike Brown paying for whatever he was trying to get prior to him, I guess, Bogart and the rest of it. Not saying that gave an excuse or make it any better in the situation, but, I mean, I don't know if that adds an extra element to it. But, of course, you know, if that is the case, you know, that's going to, you know, that part would have been done clandestinely, you know, in order to be able to keep this thing the way it's looking. Like, if everything is
right,
wrong coming from his side, you know what I mean? So.
Right. But keep in mind, though, this is the same store owner that came on TV and said that he never said that was Michael Brown.
I mean, there's so many fingers pointing to this being just a such a botched investigation. You know,
right.
I've watched CNN, you know, past couple of days. There's a forensics specialist on there that's world renowned in forensic science that keeps saying that there is no way that this man could have been, you know, in attack mode the way that Darren Wilson is stating that he is, just based
right.
on the point
the
of entry
shot.
Of the bullets. You know
right.
what I mean? So it was like there's no way he could have been in attack mode. His hands had to have been up compared to the way that the point of trajectory. And also, now this is new stuff that just came out. I don't know how new it is. Maybe I'm just new finding it. But they were saying when the medical examiner got there, you know, an hour and a half later, that they didn't even take pictures of the distance of, like, each shell to where he fell, you know, the distance of where he found out how close they was when he shot him and all that stuff like that. And
right, when they used to put it like the placards down, right.
Right, there was some other pertinent information that medical examiners must take photos of that was not attached to the complete investigation.
Autopsy.
And they asked the medical examiner why, and they said because the battery in my camera died.
And he said that's preposterous, and I believe that he doesn't have backup batteries in his camera for such a situation of that happening.
Because they thought the situation was going to be done with.
But this is what I'm saying. There's so many holes that are being pointed out. And the thing about it is it's not by people that are, you know, protesting in the streets talking about it. We got people that are, like, highfalutin, you know, well-decorated ambassadors of the realm of media,
right?
That are saying, you know, even Nancy Grace was saying that this doesn't
happen. Yeah, she lost. Yeah, she was spazzing out about that.
She went eight crap. I don't, you know, I know it's PG-13.
Yeah.
She went eight. You know what I'm saying about this whole thing or whatever? Had so many holes. She kept on pointing out. Look at the red marks. It's like not even bruises. Like, these are just red
marks. She said she
going
thought
there.
He was going to be mangled. The way he was talking,
right.
She thought the pictures that she was going to be looking
right,
at
exactly.
Where he was mangled. You know, like he bumped his face on the steering wheel.
That's it. If nothing else, he got rug burn or something like that.
Well, listen,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you, as usual, one of our favorite people has taken his stance in this situation in Ferguson. And officially, you know, I just really don't like Charles Barkley right now. Former NBA star Charles Barkley recently called the Ferguson looters scumbags and praised the police officers who worked in the black communities. He said he actually supports the decision that was made by the grand jury not to indict Darren Wilson for the Michael Brown shooting. This is a true story, folks. You know, Barkley, you know, actually said, you know, he can't believe anything he hear on television anymore, and that's why he don't like talking about race issues with media anymore, because they love this kind of stuff, and they lead people to jump to conclusions. He said the media shouldn't do that. You know, they never do that when black people kill each other, and that's his point. He also called those rioters in the riots after the decision was made. He said they were all scumbags running down the businesses and burning down police cars. I support the decision. That's the one and the only fat butt Charles Barkley.
Oh, wow.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I usually agree with him, but, like, yeah, not on this one. I don't know where the hell he is.
Word.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Word. Don't jump off a roof somewhere, baby. Straight up.
You know,
now, I mean, I understand where he's coming from when he refers negatively to the rioters, because I tell you something, it was a horrendous sight to see the same liquor store that Mike Brown, you know, stole those cigars out of, and see that same liquor store get demolished. I mean, at one point, you know, I saw, you know, somebody running out with, like, I think I said it before, two bottles of vodka in one hand and a 12-pack of toilet paper under their arm. I mean,
come on, man.
I mean, they totally took advantage of the situation, and I was embarrassed sitting in the living room of my home watching that. So I understand where he's coming from, but really, Charles, you support
that's what I'm talking about. That's what
right.
I'm talking about. The decision. That's what I'm saying. You go jump off a roof somewhere. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? To go back to the Pharrell comment, because, again, he represents a lot of people in America, as we all do. But he didn't, like I said, he didn't say he wanted that the boy has to be killed. Well, you know what I mean? Like, he did add that in. I just wanted to give that. Because, I mean, yeah, that sounds kind of crazy, but...
I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, you know, perspective
he wasn't asking
from all
to be
angles. No, get it, dig it. The perspective from all angles is definitely acceptable in a situation, because you have to kind of balance out everybody's perspective with your emotion. You understand what I'm saying? So what he said is a valid statement. It's a valid point. Most people want to hear it that's affected, you know, and negatively by this decision? No. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear the voice of reason or the other side of the coin. Nobody wants to really relate to that. But at the same time, like you're saying, you raise a valid point. You know, nobody's talking about that. And if that one situation had an ultimate consequence, which is complete
unfortunate. And the ultimate consequence, you know, I'm not saying he's saying so be it, but, I mean, like we said, we all can understand exactly the point that he's trying to make on it. And that's no secret right there. That's no secret right there.
Well, he got beat up pretty bad. He got beat up pretty bad on Twitter, you know, for his comments, just for his perspective overall. And, again, I don't think his perspective was too left field. I think Charles Barkley is always – he's coming totally left field with what he's saying, you know. And so,
that's his game.
It's not
the controversy.
No, I think he does. I think he
That's what I'm saying. That's his game. That's his hook right there. That's what he does.
Definitely. 6:55 on the West Coast, 5:55 on the East Coast. We're going to come right back, a few minutes left in the show, and we'll wrap this thing up. Hey, thanks for rocking with us, everybody. It's TM and the crew. It's the Social Lab. We'll be right back. TM, I'm Radio Live. 9:55.
Hey, this next song I'm going to play is called by a dude named Sahai the Prince, and he's actually from Atlanta, and he's a very lyrical hip-hop artist. You ever heard of him. Dude is lyrical. We're not going to hear the whole song because we ain't got that much time, but what we're going to hear, you're going to appreciate it.
Say his name again. Is
when short men overcompensate for being short.
Y'all know what time it is. Young Prince with the soul of Napoleon. I see art like I know the custodian. At the Gagosian, and my hoe is Cambodian. While I'm smoking, I send her to the stove for some osium. If I ain't hot, you must be smoking that opium. Or that shit, Hector Gay smoking them. And that Impala, but ain't nobody dope as him. So hip hop, it's time to hold a symposium. Or a seminar with no podium. For all the lame niggas throwing sodium. On my name, no utopian. My fans are like the 96 Lakers. Coach Doe Kobe and remember selling Knicks at night, no Nickelodeon. Now I'm pulling chicks at night, feeling like Scorpion. Dr. Kavokian, all in your hope fallopian. Got her in the car, giving top is anchovian. Speaking of cars, they rush hours like 4 p.m. Hi, you a gangster, but on Instagram, emojiing. In America, niggas dying over pussy. In the Middle East, they dying over petroleum. A pound in the food saver looks like a head of lettuce. Niggas steal my metaphors like I never said it. Try to battle me, you gon' need a paramedic. That means two, a paramedic. And a helicopter full of helidoctors for sounding like Andy Mellor. Knock us on the teleprompter. Let's get it poppin' over Red and Baca. Don't make my partner kill your dog with that Cruella chopper. Hotter than that red sriracha, can't care less about you. The last thing I'm trying to be is fresh when the feds is watching. No disrespect to my nigga James, but when the feds really watching, that shit'll wreck your brain. That's why I left the game, but if I had to do some time, I'd still make money from the pen like Esther Dean. I could go to jail for some shit I did at 17. God knows where I would be if I never dreamed. The dopest nigga in our decade. I don't rest hate cause these hoes give me a headache. I'm out in LA, I never went to school for writing, but I'm still good with them essays. Every bitch I had in the fucking squad, no love in my heart. Back then I wasn't that smart, but I went and took some classes overseas. Now all I do is study abroad.
Get it, study it, bro. Tell you, dude is nice, man. I want to play the whole song when I get a chance. My man, Sahai the Prince. Not my man, I don't know him like that, but I'm just saying, Sunday Night Show. I associate with that lyrical prowess on the mic. Anyway, we got a minute left in the show, y'all. Check him out, though. Sahai the Prince. C-I-C-Y-C-Y-H-I the Prince. Check him out. That song was Napoleon. That's really dope. Anyway, we got a little bit under a minute left. I hope that we can find another way to make this impact of a Ferguson decision hit home more, man.
You know what?
I guess they try to make a valiant effort.
I'm happy to see a lot of young people rise up in the midst of this tragedy. We definitely need to find another way as far as the violence. But I tell you something, it's amazing to see this generation take a stand. It's amazing. We just got to do it more peacefully, folks.
Absolutely. So I know they shut DC down though.
Well, whatever you do it well.
See you Wednesday.
Be good to each other.
Good night.
See you.
That's it. Stop recording. I'll holler at y'all.